News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Got a busy hour on the way. Rob Hulbert at 8:35 from Lanyap Mobile. Also, things keep on clicking along. We do have a campus chaos whip around coming up it's serious, Dalton. About 8:25 this morning, we'll get into that. See what the latest is from Columbia, Fordham, and UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA getting in on the mix last night.
University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Cheeseheads.
Yeah, cheeseheads.
Interesting. I can't wait for the whip around.
Pro-Palestinian cheeseheads.
My favorite new bit, even though it's not a bit. It's actually happening.
It's news.
Congratulations, Kitty, who won a family four-pack to go to the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo at the Convention Center next weekend. That's May 10th through 12th. Kitty, 85 years old and listens to Mobile Mornings on the regular. So we appreciate Kitty listening, and we'll be giving away some more of these family four packs the rest of this week and next week leading up to the Outdoor Expo. Also, your chance this hour to win a couple tickets to see Judas Priest live at the Mobile Civic Center Arena coming up 10 days from now, a May 12th show. And Dan, you've got a little something going on today as well, right?
I do. It was for years. Let's see how many years I've done it now. You know, I think the world of Mike Gottfried and his team focus group and what they do and for kids who have no dad in the home. Of course, more and more of those out there. But this thing is, they've got all kinds of organizations in Ohio as well as here in Mobile and Kentucky. And Mike goes to more high school graduations than anybody I know. These kids are, but anyway, they do a wonderful job with mentoring these young people. And you can see evidence of it too, because many of them, you get a chance to meet and talk to them tonight. For years, it was Nick Saban. It was an evening with Nick Saban. He was, of course, the head man at Alabama from, I guess, 06, 07 on, and every year, his one personal appearance in front of an audience would be here in Mobile. That'd be it. And he did it because he felt so strongly about what Mike Gottfried was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that coaching fraternity is very strong, too. Coaches know what coaches go through. And you look at it like this, too. Mike Gottfried was a head football coach way before Nick Saban was. Mike Gottfried was a head coach at the University of Cincinnati, and played at Alabama in like 1983 or 84, and ended up to be the head coach at Kansas, Pittsburgh, and then it came down here to Mobile, where his brother resides, and started Team Focus, and it's been quite an inspiration. Nick Saban no longer the head coach, but that's all right. Kalen DeBoer will be the speaker. I've really watched the whole process of him being hired right after his appearance in the national championship game. Suddenly he was given the opportunity to come to Alabama when Nick Saban hung it up like out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Didn't it feel that way? Like, wow.
It felt that way for sure.
And so the DeBoer hiring was swift, and he had to make a decision pretty quickly, and he accepted it. And it's just like everything that you hear about the guy is just
positive,
more than positive.
Yeah.
Just a really great guy, not just a great coach, but a great guy. So I look forward to it tonight. I don't know I'll have a chance to actually meet the gentleman, because there's things I'll have to do, and then I'll certainly introduce him, and I'll be there while he's speaking, and we can all get a chance to observe him and see what he's got to say. But it should be an exciting night for Alabama fans. Something new. The brand new head coach, Kalen DeBoer. It's going to be at the Riverview Hotel.
Okay.
Down there on right, you know where it is.
Well, and he's got to make a good impression, and I know he's been to Mobile, and I'm sure this isn't his first recruiting trip since he was named the Alabama head coach. But Mobile, I mean, whether you're the Alabama head coach or the Auburn head coach or from a neighboring state, pretty important to try to get us locked down because of the athletes that come out of
here.
Isn't
that the truth? You know, the first thing he did, well, not the first maybe, but he was able to secure Ryan Williams, who decommitted when Saban left, and he was able to get him back in the fold for Alabama. So Ryan from right up the road, basically Mobile, Saraland.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of great prospects come out of this area, and I don't think there's going to be I don't think that's going to trail off anytime soon.
No.
When you look at these teams, my hope is now with we will have a new incoming director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, And my hope is that he or she will be a little more forgiving with looking at a big picture and saying, go ahead and you can do the playoff games as well,
right,
locally. Televised-wise, we're not able to broadcast any of the playoff games. I think someone a little more forward-thinking would say that doesn't
grow the game.
It doesn't grow the game. It doesn't make any sense. We tell the story, and we get to the end of the story, and we're not able to tell the end of the story. And then you have to wiggle around and figure out where you can see the state championship games, be it online or wherever.
It's the opposite of what I'm dealing with Major League Baseball. It's like I don't get to watch the regular season now, but once it gets to the playoffs, that'll be on these different channels I see. For high school football, I get to watch the regular season with you and Jim calling games, and then by the playoffs, you can't get it on TV.
Our trials with TV sports are immense. Yeah. People are probably tired of hearing about it.
Well, Comcast joined the crew, this week. Comcast no Blacked more Valley Sports. So if you're a Braves fan or Nashville Predators fan or some of these NBA teams, and you have Comcast, they wiped you off. No more Bally Sports for you there.
So. Bally Sports itself, so they made a deal at one point that just kind of doomed them, right? I mean, they're in bankruptcy or whatever.
Yeah, and being bought up by Amazon.
It was Fox Sports South is where we could watch the Braves and different stuff, and that was all fine and dandy. Bally came in and bought them.
Right.
And for whatever reason, that plan went haywire and did not work out for them financially.
Yeah, these different broadcasters, they just can't work out what they feel is an even deal. Mm-hmm. And so they're just taking them right off. And that's how you end up with Fubo TV like you use.
Yeah.
What other people are doing. Looking at the text line, and we've gotten a ton of texts already this morning. And you can join the mix at 251-343-0106. A texter here says, would you please address why Senator Elliott was a yes vote last time and probably voted no on this? We're talking about the lottery and gambling bill here. Voted no on this because he has the highest dollar amount campaign contributions of any state senator from the Porch Creek tribe but one, and that one is Greg Albritton, who is the senator for the district the tribe's reservation is located in. Senator Chris Elliott's only connection is that his district is in Baldwin County as well, and a bucket load of money he received from PCI. Under the legislation he just voted no on, it says PCI cannot expand gambling into South Baldwin County, so the very argument he used is gone now. It's all about the money he got from PCI to influence him to switch his vote, it looks like. Very interesting points made there, but Elliott was one of the no votes, one of the 15 no votes in the Senate this week. And his reasoning, at least what he told AL.com, Elliott's reason for voting no, they said, he, along with Representative Bell, Lance Bell out of Pell City, they both said they were concerned with an expansion of electronic casino gambling in the current version. So that expansion, that is the reasoning that Elliott gave there for his no vote, would be basically legalizing slot machines, whether you're talking video poker or video bingo, or I guess this historic horse racing, all of these different names of the same game, basically. It all works down to being slot machines. Under this new legislation, that would be completely legalized in seven different locations. So you have the four standing dog tracks, which includes the Greyhound track here in Mobile County, but you also have tracks in Macon, Jefferson, and Greene, and then three existing bingo halls, Lowndes County, Houston County, and Greene County. And those seven locations under this newest legislation, they would be allowed slot machines and video poker, but not table games. So that's the reasoning that Elliott gave, at least that he gave AL.com, concerned with an expansion of electronic casino gambling in the current version of the bill. Now, with this new version of the bill, they wipe sports betting completely out of it. So no sports betting. You're done.
I mean, that's your
That's
thing.
All I... Yeah.
That's the one thing that you wanted was the ability.
Yeah. So they said, not going to happen.
Yeah.
But what there was a little confusion on yesterday, at least for me, was what exactly is the deal with the Porch Band of Creek Indians? Because you had some reporting that this new legislation would allow for a fourth casino location.
Right, and then the speculation is where would that be?
Now, I saw AL.com, they said in the original version of the bill that fourth Porch Band casino would be in Northeast Alabama.
That's what I remember hearing initially, but things have come, this thing has gone round and round, so I couldn't remember exactly if I had that right.
And, there are a lot of theories that if they could choose anywhere in the state, that the Porch Band of Creek Indians, if they were to expand their operations, that one of those places may be Owa. in Baldwin County. That you almost think it's kind of made for them to install something like that. But apparently this newest version of the bill, which was one vote short in the Senate, does not include the in the legislation the option of a fourth location for the branch band of Creek Indians.
Right.
And from State Senator Albritton's quotes here with Alabama Daily News, that seems to be the deal breaker, at least on his end. And he appears to be pretty openly representing the Porch Band of Creek Indians. He said, we put ourselves in a state position, so the state had absolutely nothing to offer PCI for a compact. As much as I want to solve this problem for the state, I can't. I can't harm my folks in my area for it. So because this doesn't have the option for a fourth location for PCI, that seems to be a non-starter for Albritton, who voted this thing out of committee, out of conference committee earlier in the day, Tuesday, but then was a no vote in the Senate on Tuesday night. Now, they could bring this back up for a vote as soon as today, but remember, they only have 4 legislative days remaining, and they have to be pretty sure that they have the votes in the Senate.
What was Elliott's reason again, his stated reason AL.com?
He told AL.com, he, along with Representative Lance Bell from Pell City, said they were both concerned with an expansion of electronic casino gambling in the current version of the legislation. They said in this AL.com article, Albritton said the legislation restricted PCI and put them in an, quote, unsustainable position economically. So Elliott saying his reasoning is just it's too expansive when it comes to these slot machines.
Yeah. That they would go to Greene County and places like that, dog tracks.
Mobile County has one of the dog tracks.
Right.
So that was his reasoning, Albritton being more direct and saying this just doesn't have enough for the Porch Band of Creek Indians in it. All it takes is to flip one vote, though. And another one they're taking a look at is maybe State Senator Arthur Orr, and he's been consistent. So he voted against the bill in March and then again against it this week. And he gave a couple reasons to Mary Sell with Alabama Daily News. He said the bill is too broad in the types of electronic games it would allow.
Right.
So similar to Elliott's reasoning there. But also Orr had more of an issue with where the gambling and lottery revenue was directed. Now, the way it currently stands, they would have, for the lottery revenue, that would all be directed into the Education Trust Fund.
Right.
So just like so many states previously have legalized lottery, send the money to the kids and be done with it. Well, for the other casino revenue, which would include the slot machines in these 7 locations, and then, by the way, this bill would also legalize table games at the Porch Band of Creek Indians casinos. So they would be almost full-scale casino there. No
just
sports
like in
betting,
Biloxi,
obviously.
Right.
Right. But Orr has an issue with the revenues from the slot machines and table games going to the general fund, which would then be used for infrastructure projects or health care, things of that nature. Or feels that more of the money that's going into the general fund should also be directed into the Education Trust Fund.
Got it.
That might also be enough to change his vote, but then you have to ask, what votes will it change?
The other way.
The other way.
Yeah. Say we just need that they just need one vote, but does everybody stay on board that is on board
right
now? It all seems to be temporarily.
It seems like a real tightrope for a lot of these people.
820, Dan and Dalton. We do have the Campus Chaos whip around on the way. It's 820 with Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
824 FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for listening to Mobile Mornings on this Thursday morning. Get to the text line here in just a moment. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Here in Mobile, Trey Bennett and his crew have been doing great work for over 15 years, making that junk disappear. All you have to do is point, and it's very easy to set up your appointment. You can do it online or on the phone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number. And once they come out, get a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. Then they get to work, and they do it quickly and with the utmost respect that you expect when someone comes into your home or business. They'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. Another 5-star Google review left for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This one from Martha just a few days ago left a 5-star review. Said the two young men were wonderful, helpful, and polite. They quickly got things done. I was pleased and impressed with their work. And it's an endorsement from Martha. I could say the same thing, full endorsement here for 1-800-GOT-JUNK from me and several other folks at the station who have used their services. So set up your appointment today. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number to call, or online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
It is time again right now. You know it's time for the Campus Chaos Whip Around, and we start to look. Donald Trump's involved now. Former President Donald Trump on Thursday called out President Biden and California Governor Gavin Newsom for their silence as police confront anti-Israel protests all over the place, including UCLA. We'll get to that. This is a radical left revolution taking place in our country, Trump posted on his social media network, Truth Social. Where is crooked Joe Biden? Where is Governor Newsom? The danger to our country is from the left, not from the right, he said. Police removed barricades and began to detain some protesters at UCLA. Moved to the West Coast to UCLA. The Fighting Bruins.
Was the band out there?
The Fighting Bruins are fighting with cops. That's not good. At UCLA, hundreds of officers moved in on an encampment from both sides of Royce Hall. You know where Royce Hall is, right?
Of course,
yeah. In the middle of campus there.
That's right.
After a standoff overnight as cops gathered in preparation for the raid, officers met heavy resistance as they approached the camp. Protesters attempted to resist by shining bright flashlights into the eyes of the officers. Oh, jeez. Those Bruins. Several people were seen being detained by police and hauled away with their hands zip-tied behind their backs. It's unclear how many people have been detained. And there you go. UCLA, our final stop on at least this hour on the Campus Chaos Whip Around on FM Talk 106.5.
You got to wonder.
Yes, Dalton.
You got to wonder what John Wooden would think of all this.
John Wooden would not be in favor of. And well, John Wooden was a head coach and winning all these games in the middle of the late 60s.
You're right. So he saw some protests.
Things were going on out there for sure.
But whichever side he, allied himself with would be doing a better job. So if John Wooden were to somehow coach the UCLA protesters, they'd be basically unstoppable.
Yeah, their shoes would be tied securely. That's the first thing he taught you in practice, to have a tied shoe.
The triangle.
Triangle offense, and they would they'd have it down. What was the funny line? Bill Walton was, followed the Grateful Dead and was a deadhead and all that stuff. And he went into Wooden's office before maybe his sophomore or junior year, and his hair was long, and he said, Coach, I'm not, I'm an adult. People are making decisions out there that are, I should be allowed. And I just want to let you know, I'm not going to cut my hair. Mm-hmm. And Wooden said, well, Bill, we're going to miss you. So he told his All-American, we're going to miss you, and have a good senior year.
Rules are rules.
Rules are rules, right.
Wow.
So John Wooden won't be playing with any of all this.
Texter here, we were talking about high school sports, says if you want a good way to keep up with high school sports, Icon Sports Southeast News covers the area. Okay, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
And if the AHSA would allow live coverage of playoff games, they would cover that as well. Terry says, dear parents, spank your kids so the cops don't have to. Well said, Terry.
I'd like that.
The texter here says, it's not a coincidence that the Porch Band of Creek Indians are on the property where the Explorer is at down by the river. Okay, talking about the Explorium, is that what we're talking about here? Let's see, Chris says, in an interview yesterday, Meemaw said it best, the legislators have had it long enough, it's time to let the people vote on it, gambling that is.
And that's the point, too, I wanted to make, is that even if they come to an agreement on what's going to be in the vote, it's a vote. It still
goes to the people.
Right. It's not like gambling's in. No, it's like, do you vote it in? And I guess late August, right?
Yeah, it'd be, I think, August 20th was the date they came up with, a special election to keep it off of the presidential ballot. And Chris also said they need to let the Porch Creek Indians put a full-blown Las Vegas-style casino at OWA. The tourists coming down that beach express would eat it up.
They would. Oh, well, right now seems to be marketed as a family-friendly spot on the map. It's 8:30, and we'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lagniappe Mobile on the way next. Morning from Dan and Dalton, 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. 251-343-0106 if you want to react to anything you hear on the text line. A lot of people have already been doing that this morning, obviously. Feel free to do that. Meanwhile, it's time to talk with our weekly guest.
Yes, Rob Hobert with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, and votenappies.com, which that URL, again, became very important this week as finalist voting for nappies officially in session as of noon yesterday. Rob, thanks for joining us this Thursday morning.
It has begun, folks. The insanity has begun.
Yeah. So
the final voting is happening.
Every year you bring it on yourself, Rob.
We do. But it's fun. For the most part, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's,
you know, there's some people who can't have fun, but, you know, most of us can have fun.
Yep. And, you know, quick insider question here, insider baseball. With nappy voting going on now, that means the nappies party isn't that far away, which means the video that you put out there annually isn't that far away. Where are we in the writing process for this year's nappy video?
That is actually just begun.
Okay.
We just kind of started the thought process yesterday. So,
well, not really nothing to work with, huh?
There's not a lot to work with.
No, there's not. Nothing
it's,
to work with.
It was really, really, just really vacant of anything to work with.
It's been a news desert around here.
Yeah, pretty much.
It has been. It's a rough business these days. I'm trying to be in the news biz. There's nothing to write about.
Well, the video is always great. And, of course, even more material after this week to work with. You have the surprise gambling bill is back, and maybe we'll get into that. But the issue at City Council this week was, again, the tiff, the back and forth between the mayor and his administration and now former police chief Paul Prine. And after a lot of discussion, both behind closed doors and not behind closed doors, council votes to relieve Prine of his duties. I think that was a unanimous vote, and also vote to investigate the allegations that Prine has made against the city.
Yeah, it's it's an ongoing program here, and we all expected them to get rid of him. It really kind of looked like it was teetering a little bit, though. I mean, Dale was writing from City Council the other day texting us saying, hey, this thing may not happen. They may not fire him. But it kind of all hinged on the agreement that there would be an investigation of what went on. So, you know, I think it's perpetuating. Obviously, I don't think the mayor's office is real excited about it. They feel like it's being handled, and they've sent it to the attorney general's office for review. But the council still wants to hire somebody to look into it. And so I think it's going to go on for a little while longer, for sure.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
You know, Prine has alluded that he has some other things to say, a drop of information that he has that I don't know what that is or if that's going to happen or not. It's not over. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know if there's going to be any real finding or not. It all really centers on the way things were done in terms of, hiring, who they hired to do a peer review, who they hired to do the actual review, Kenyon Brown having, I think those are issues that the city needs to look at. I mean, it's not necessarily saying there's anything illegal. Nobody has said there's anything illegal at this point, or nobody's found anything illegal. It's just a matter of, I think there are all his issues. I think when you say, hey, we're going to have a third party review, and the connections with the person and third party doesn't look great.
Right. So
that's where I think that's where they have ended up kind of stubbing their toe on this thing. Now, I don't know if that is something that they're willing to say, hey, maybe that wasn't a great idea. They don't seem at this point to be in that mood. So we'll see what happens. But, I really have a feeling of how serious the council is in terms of pushing this.
Yeah.
All those things will come out in the wash.
Yeah. It's been, I don't, in the history of Lanyap, you've been digging around, finding news in and around this town and state for a long time, Rob. And thank goodness Lanyap is there with the ending of any other kind of meaningful media press, I should say, certainly newspaper. But it seems to be one of the biggest stories you've ever had to cover. Would that be fair?
I mean, I think it's a big story. I don't know if it's the biggest we've ever covered. It's a big story to have a chief of police coming out and blasting the administration is unusual.
Sure.
And you know, I think that you know, there's, I guess I feel like there's a little bit of irritation that we and others in local media are covering it. I'm like, you know, hey man, the chief of police gets fired or comes out and is going to get fired and comes out and hammers at everybody. There's really not much you can do. You got to write about it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's news.
Yeah.
You know, that's news 100% of the time. That's the way it is.
And conversation, Rob, has also shifted towards 2025, which is interesting because we have a presidential election before then. But at least around here, we've been talking more about the upcoming mayoral election. And I wasn't sure if Stimson would run again or not. That seems to be, I was going to say all but confirmed, but he's pretty much confirmed it to Lanyap that he's running again next year. Some people are even this morning texting in Prine for mayor. I'm not sure if that was in the cards for Prine before all this, and he still doesn't seem to be sure whether that's something he wants to do or not. But interesting that more than a year out, we're kind of lining out some names here. And what does it mean that Stimson is running again?
Well, I mean, I think it means that you know, Sandy has a number of things that he wants to see done and finished, and then, so I mean, I think that's where that's coming from. You know, I don't know that Paul Prine lives in Mobile. I don't think he does.
Hmm.
So that's you know, first thing he has to do if he wants to be mayor is move to Mobile. If he's you know, I think he lives in Sarah Lynn still, but. So, you know, I don't know. He indicated to us that was more of a kind of just throwing it out there, a little bit of a joke, that he hasn't made his mind up yet. I don't know that that's going to happen. And I honestly still think regardless of this, all of this stuff, I think that Stimson would be far and away it'd be hard to beat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is while I get that this is not a great circumstance and it's a, it makes some people who aren't happy with the mayor excited. I think that the reality is he's done a really good job overall. He's done a good job in a lot of ways. So I don't think this is a massive blemish on his record. You know, certainly I haven't seen anybody yet who's thrown their name in that I would say, yeah, that I could see that being a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a long way away, so who knows?
Yeah, it is a long way away, but seeing the names that jump in, that'll be interesting for sure. Cover story of Lanyap this week, we're talking oysters, and a fellow who's well-known around here at FM Talk 106.5, but also everywhere around here, Ben Raines, part of the cover story there.
Yeah, the shell-evators. They've invented I'm losing the guy's name right now, that has invented the shell-evator, but basically the deal is they are working to try to win a carbon reduction type of grant. And so the concept is, hey, look, oysters capture carbon and they lock it into your shells, mm-hmm. and it's locked in there for eons, you know, so that it's when an oyster dies, when it doesn't go back like a tree or whatever else, when it dies, it rots and the carbon comes back out. But the oyster shell holds this carbon. So the idea is, hey, if everybody starts producing oysters, right off their docks and around the bay and around the area, that it would help reduce carbon emissions. Also, at the same time, you grow oysters, you grow food, also filters the bay. Oysters are, you know, they filter tons of water every day. And, I mean, they're looking at a global scale to do this thing. But what the shell-evator does is it allows you to raise these tons of oysters up every day or every week. Apparently you have to bring them up every week and clean them to some extent just to get parasites and things away from them. And so that's been a difficulty in the past, but with this simple kind of air pump technology that they've developed, then you can lift it out and clean it and you can handle a lot more oysters than you normally would.
Andy Di Paola is the name of the guy, right?
Yes, that's right.
He's the
Thank
one.
You.
Yes, yes.
Thank
that's an interesting story. It's so mobile for
it
sure.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah,
you know, you don't really think about how much carbon is held in an oyster shell.
Right.
So it's kind of an interesting take on carbon reduction, along with food increase. And the story, there's a lot of cool stuff in the story that. Talks about how many oysters we used to produce in Mobile Bay versus what's produced now and where that's gone. I mean, I think each oyster can filter something like 50 gallons of water a day.
Huh.
So there's just a tremendous amount of stuff that goes with that. It's kind of on several different fronts. It's a really cool idea.
It sounds like a question on Jeopardy or something.
That's a good stat to keep in your mind. Oysters are like the opposite of almonds, right? It takes so much water to clean even just one almond. So oysters are over here doing the hard work.
They're doing the hard work.
California hippies.
Getting back by slogging them down.
Rob, also, as kind of wrap up the legislative session, I know you have your folks up there writing about that, and kind of a curveball this week with the gambling bill, which appeared to be dead in the water. You get it in this little committee with three members of the House and three of the Senate. They work something together. It flies through the House, and then one vote shy in the Senate, and Albritton, Elliot, both no votes there from our area.
Yeah, after Albritton praised the legislation, then he turns around and votes against it. I think it still has some opportunity here in the last day or two. But there's things there that still you got to look at it. I mean, it's the closest we've come to having any sort of legislation or any sort of vote on gambling.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that there are. Personally, I look at it and say there's a lot of issues with it, but it is the closest we've come.
Yeah, and Albritton's reasoning there, it sounds like it's all about that fourth location, like a yet-to-be-determined location for the Porch Band of Creek Indians, and if that's not included, then it sounds like he's a no vote.
Yeah, no offense to Senator Albritton, but he often is doing whatever it is the Porch Band of Indians need him to do, so... I think that's where it comes in, and it's I still think that's that issue. You know, when we start talking about opening these things up, but you create a circumstance where one player has a lot more, a lot better situation than everybody mm-hmm. else coming in. I don't know if that's going to be super attractive to other people.
Rob, our flags in Mobile are at half staff today. You got a story about the passing of Mobile Major General Gary Cooper. He passed away over the weekend, 87 years old.
What a great guy he was, what a
life he lived, huh?
Tremendous life, tremendous guy. I was fortunate enough to get to know him some, and fortunate enough to have him call me on occasion and have me come over and tell me what he thought was going on, and he was just a fascinating individual, and super smart, super confident, had done just about everything you can imagine, and he called me last week, and I missed his call, and I just thought, wow, that's too bad. I missed getting to talk to him one more time. I really didn't think he was that close to going.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a little bit of a health issue, but he seemed pretty strong last time I saw him. But he's a really terrific guy.
Yeah. When I would see him, it'd be at Pro Health. So he was there, some cardio, trying to keep himself healthy. And I told Dalton that he said we were having a conversation, and then it dawned on me, like, this guy is somebody. And he said to me, was it either a book or a movie? I forget which, Rob, but he said, they wrote a book about me. I said, really? He said, yeah, you ought to check it out. he didn't give me a tip on what it was called or where to go find it. He's like, I'm going to give this guy some homework.
Well, he was definitely a unique individual. And I mean, you knew when you were talking to him that you were talking to somebody who had been in charge, man.
Yep. That is for sure. That is so true.
All right, Rob, we appreciate your time this morning. LanyapMobile.com for folks that want to sign up, have the news delivered directly to them, but also VoteNappies.com.
VoteNappies.com. It's going on right now. Get out there and vote, man. And if you're interested in news, we put stuff up every day. And Lanyap is a daily paper online, so get out there. It's a dollar for the first month and $6.50 a month after that. It's a very inexpensive subscription and really helps us keep doing what we do.
We need it, man. Thanks, Rob.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right, Rob Hobert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And coming back, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings. The guest list for Jeff Poor on the way, plus your chance to win tickets to see Judas Priest all on the way right here on Mobile Mornings.
What is going on, y'all? FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. Another feisty little show here today.
Yeah.
A little feisty on the text line as well. And the often feisty Jeff Poor is on the way next.
Yeah, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. He has mentioned gambling, and this name just pops up. Former Governor Don Siegelman joins Jeff in hour number one. Hour number two, you'll get to hear from Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kinnon. And in hour number three, April Marie Fogle joins the Jeff Poor Show. So looking forward to all three of those interviews. Text line, Terry says, by firing Prine, every council member who voted yes is complicit in any wrongdoing by the Stimson administration. Yeah, I think for that, for the firing of Prine vote, which was unanimous, I think everyone, the time had come, right?
Yeah.
Prine had said, listen, there's no way I could possibly go back and work for the administration after this war of words. I can't do it. And they said, okay, well, unless you want us to fire you, you're going to have to resign. He said, no, I'm not going to resign. You're going to have to fire me.
Yep.
And with the MPD basically in limbo, with an interim chief and Prine refusing to resign and everyone refusing to fire him, they kind of just had to do something. So I don't think that that reflects necessarily what the council thinks about Prine.
No.
I think they just kind of had to get it done.
It was necessary, it seemed, at this point.
Right.
Because Prine wasn't backing down. And you got to move the city along.
Texter here says, went back and listened to the Best Rich interview. How did Stimson know he had the vote of the council to fire Chief Prine?
Yeah.
There must have been some behind-the-scenes negotiating going on.
Yeah,
I'm sure there was. But, again, for the firing, I think that neither party could work it out. And the council is just trying to move along with business. Now, the fact that they're going to investigate, that shows that they're not completely on to the next business, but they're going to take a deeper look at least at what Prine alleged. Same texter says, if Stimson passed Bess Rich a note of her faults and then took it from her, he's no better than Let's Go Brandon. The evil web of politics does not like the truth. When someone tries to get out of that web, the spider works even harder with its web to keep the truth from being told. And says, my dad has a saying about politicians, if they are not crooked when they go in, they will be before they come out. More texts asking about Senator Elliott and his no vote. Yeah, I'm not sure what it will take to get this across the finish line, and certainly Jeff Poor has some insight into that.
We were just kind of talking lottering. About, yeah, off air. We were just kind of, you know, kicking around a little bit. Would the opportunity for the Poarch Creek to have one more casino, which they say would be up in Northeast Alabama, is that the linchpin for Albritton?
Yeah, would that be sweet enough to get Albritton to vote yes? And if that is the sweetener that they have to work in here, you know, how many yes votes does that turn into a no vote for people who don't want to see Poarch Creek expand?
Yep.
That's the question. And then for those that voted no, and their reasoning for voting no was the expansion of these slot machines at these seven different locations, what would change those votes?
Yep.
The slot machine thing is so weird to me, and the way that this state has gone about what's legal, what's not legal, what counts as bingo or horse racing, it's just so, it's all insane. These are all slot machines.
Yeah.
I feel like if we would all agree to use the proper terminology, maybe that would make it easier to figure out who would vote what, but these are slot machines.
Yes.
You're legalizing slot gaming in seven locations. I don't know. We'll see if they vote today. I guess the next opportunity for them to do anything would be today on this gambling bill, whether they do or not. But stay tuned to the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, I think some of the answers you're looking for will be on Jeff's show in minutes. Dan and Dalton back with you on Friday morning. It's 8:59 at FM Talk 106.5 and FMTalk106.5.com.